Welcome to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast. This is episode 12. This is Beth Ann.
And I'm Sarah. Today we'll be interviewing Mary Larson, a TV personality, mom blogger, and podcaster.
On this episode, you'll learn how Mary pimps her postpartum padsicles on Pinterest.
Mary will also teach you how she ditched AdSense and found sponsors that fit her blog's personality instead.
Let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
So today on the show, we are so excited to welcome Mary Larson. She is mom to Reese. He's 14 months old. She blogs at tallmomtinybaby.com. And she and her husband, Blake, co-host a podcast called ParentCast. It's a podcast dedicated to new parents, new babies, and their new lives together. It's really a ton of fun, their podcast. They bring in roundtables. They talk to all sorts of different people, including those without kids, and kind of learn from each other. So it's really great. She's also a musician, a local Rhode Island television personality, and she works in the local film industry. So welcome to our show, Mary.
Thank you guys so much, Beth Ann and Sarah. This is great to talk with you. I'm so excited.
We are too. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your family, a little bit more about your business?
Yeah, sure. No problem. So as you said, I started off as a musician. That's actually what my degree is in. I have a Bachelor of Music. Pretty gross sounding. I have a B-O-M. So a B-M, like that's my degree is a B-M. I was like, this is fantastic. But I'm a saxophonist and I actively still perform. I play in the Rhode Island Wind Ensemble. And I was a music teacher and performing arts director for about 7 years. And then my program was cut. So I decided to make a career change and I started to work in the local film industry in Rhode Island. And I was in it for about a year. And then I heard about this great opportunity where I could try out to be a television host. And I thought, you know what? I'll try it. I don't really watch television. Everything I watch is on Netflix or streaming from my iPad, but why not? But I tried out against a lot of people who broadcasting was their background. And I went in and magically can read off a teleprompter very well. And I won. I was chosen. So I ended up being a host on The Road Show. It's kind of like Rhode Island's version of Good Morning America or The Today Show. So I did that for a year, during which I had actually gotten pregnant. And I decided to start blogging. So I started blogging in the fall of 2012. And Tall Mom, Tiny Baby was where I got to kind of keep up with a bit of this personality that I've now made on air. So my blog is very clean. Like I don't swear in my posts. And I don't, even though sometimes I would probably like to, I kind of wanted to keep this persona in case I did go back on air. And I wanted to keep up because it's a lifestyle show. So I figured, what's more lifestyle than being a mom? So I did that and just loved blogging about all of the adventures that I've gone through. And I've learned a lot about the blogging business. And just this year, my husband and I started ParentCast. And that's because we love listening to podcasts. And it's been a really cool activity for us to do together. So while we've been doing that, I ended up going back part-time in our local film industry here in Rhode Island. And I work as the executive coordinator of a production company called Verdi Productions. We're actually doing a film in September with Martin Scorsese. So it's a pretty big deal here in this state, and it's exciting. And I feel like I'm juggling a lot, but I love everything that I'm doing, and I'm so fortunate. So that's kind of me in a nutshell. My husband and I have been together for 7 years. We got married in 2010. And yeah, we had Reese 14 months ago. We haven't slept for 14 months. And but we love doing the podcast together. That's pretty much our date night since my child is a bit of a hellion. I love him dearly, but our date nights really are when we get to podcast together.
Oh, that's really sweet. I love that you guys are sharing that together and building your business together. That's I love it.
Thanks.
So as a mom who has a very busy 14-month-old at home, and I know some of your work is outside of the home with the film industry and doing that, but you also are doing this podcast, and I've noticed as well that you have put out so many blog posts just this year. I was just amazed at the sheer number of posts and content that you've put out. So how do you actually get your work done? What does a typical day look like for you?
You know, it's funny because even though the job that I do with the film business, that's what really, really pays the bills. I think my passion is the blog and is the podcast. And that's it. It's like, if something that you do is your passion, you work all the time. So just last month, I decided to stop working on Sundays. But basically, any other day of the week, before my baby wakes up, I probably wake up and I wrestle around in bed and I go on my phone and I go on Pinterest and I pin a couple of things, because social media, when you're blogging or podcasting, it's so big. It's like you do this post one time, you know, as you said, I have written a lot of posts and I write it that one time, but I need to make sure that it's available to new readers. So I'll wake up and I'll try to interact, or maybe I'll pre-write some of my Facebook posts, or I'll go on Hootsuite and pre-schedule some of my tweets, and I'll do that. I then get up and get the baby fed and get him ready, and I try not to check my email while I'm feeding him. I try to eat at the same time, but during his first nap, that's when I take care of myself physically. I used to want to just work and blog and take care of things, but instead I realized I wasn't showering. So first nap, I shower and become a human being. And then during his second nap, I tackle my work. And then I even do it again when he's sleeping. So I really try to make sure that I'm present when he's awake. And luckily, he still takes two naps, so I can kind of work around that a little bit. And I try to make sure that each day of the week, I have a different task. So Saturdays, for example, I work more on Pinterest. And Tuesdays and Thursdays, I really work on writing more content. And Mondays, I work on doing content that I get paid for. And sure, like, I'll tweet and I'll do things in between and I'll sprinkle here and there. But like, each day of the week, you know how people have those days where it's like Monday you clean the kitchen and Tuesday you clean the bathroom? Well, I kind of took that concept for my blog and for my podcast, because it's so overwhelming. You can just do everything every day and then you never see your child. You never see your friends. You can just kind of get in this black hole of, oh my God, I want to share everything. So I decided, you know what? The world's not going to stop if I don't go on Pinterest today. Like, the world's not going to stop if I don't go on Twitter today, or if I don't write that blog post right now. I can go in Google Drive and I could give myself notes, but save that for the day when I write. So that's kind of how my day works.
That is a really interesting strategy. I have not come across anyone who divides their work up that way, and I think it's genius.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, I'm like, okay, I need to come up with a daily schedule for myself like this.
I think it's because I was going crazy, and I needed to. Yeah. So hopefully if it works for you, you'll have to let me know.
Definitely, yeah.
Well, I think focus is just such a tough thing in general. It's so easy to get distracted, and I know that I'm my most productive when I'm focused. But it's so hard to make yourself stay focused. So I do really love that idea.
Thank you. And now you have mommy brain. That's why you need it.
Yes. That's so true. I was going to ask, so you said on Fridays you like to focus on your money-making content?
On Mondays, I definitely do. Yeah, Mondays.
Mondays. Yep. Okay. So can you dig into that? Is that your freelance reporting, or Which type of content is that?
That's so on my blog, I occasionally get sponsored posts. So I work through Collective Bias most frequently when I get paid. And that's a great network where they connect bloggers with brands. And you have to apply for these shops. And sometimes you get chosen and sometimes you don't. And those are the days when I really apply for those shops. And those are the days that I write for them. So, for example, I was sponsored last month by Walgreens to write a post about women's health. And I wrote about how I was feeling pretty crummy about myself and how I painted my nails pink to make myself feel better. And it worked. And I talked about how women just need to take care of themselves. And in there, I sprinkled a little bit of the Walgreens and sprinkled in to pick up vitamins. But that was a post that I worked on over a couple of Mondays to make sure that it was true to who I am. But I still got paid $150 for that post. that's kind of how I do it. I apply. It's tough because you can apply to something and think that you have the best pitch ever and then not get chosen, and then get chosen for something that you like randomly were like, sure, I love that product, and you get picked. So it's been a little infrequent. I have tried being an Amazon affiliate and linking to that. That has not worked very well for me. I think I actually just got rejected from them because I wasn't making enough money over 90 days. So Amazon doesn't love me that much right now.
I didn't know you could get rejected.
I didn't know either. I feel like the kid not picked in dodgeball right now. I'm going to have to check it out. So, but I kind of knew because I would check and I would realize that people weren't clicking. And so maybe that's something that I was doing wrong. Maybe I didn't highlight enough items for people to buy. I also dabbled in Google ads, and that hasn't really brought me that much money. I do have a YouTube channel, and it almost seems that my YouTube makes more money than it does on my blog, because I think people, when they look at blogs, they know those are ads. They know that that's right. Not me promoting a site. It's me trying to make money. So just last week, I was getting very upset, and I was realizing that, you know, the Google ads wasn't working, and I want to make more money from the blog, and I want to make money eventually from the podcast, but I want to do it so that it's genuine, so that it's me. So I just started reaching out to Etsy shops, and I started finding shops. Like, I'm a huge Harry Potter and Game of Thrones nerd, and so I reached out to all these people who did like Harry Potter artwork for nurseries. And I said, hey, just so you know, I mention Harry Potter probably once a week on my blog. I have this many readers. I have this many hits. And I would love to feature your shop on a banner ad or on a sidebar. And here are my prices. And I just made them up. And I've already, like, every single person I wrote to has said they're interested. So, wow. Yeah. So that was something that just, you know, I reached out. I kind of thought that that wasn't going to work. And that's what I'm setting up this week. I'm going to have to dabble from my Monday. I'm going to have to spread the make the money love right now, because I didn't expect them all to reply that they were interested. And a lot of them, I even said, you know, if you give me something for free, then we can, or you can do a guest post. Like, let's talk about this. It's about being flexible. And a lot of my income, I believe, is when I get free products. So my son was able to take almost a year's worth of baby music classes at this point because I've written two blog posts about our baby music classes here in Rhode Island. Because I was a Rhode Island television personality, a lot of the things that I do are Rhode Island centric, and I write about things that I like in this state. And rather than worrying about finding $180 to take my baby, who probably will just drool and poop during the class, even though I find it very enriching because I am a musician, I figured, why don't I just try it? You can't lose anything if you don't ask. So I've asked different people. I asked the music teacher. I asked different organizations, hey, if I write honest blog posts and promote you, can I have your services for free? And more often than not, they're really excited to do it. So I feel like I earn over $600 a month because of all the different things that I get in return.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing all of this, Mary. I feel like we've just learned several new ways to, for anyone out there who's trying to monetize a blog. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
I wanted to ask, because we've heard from other people about monetizing on YouTube, but I have no clue how that actually works on YouTube. Could you touch on that very briefly?
Sure. So when you're watching a YouTube video, if you notice, most of the time you get like a car ad, or that right now there's some guy like twirling pizza on all of my YouTube ads. It's for some, I don't even know what it's for, but you'll see these ads. And then in the bottom right hand corner, it'll say you can skip this ad in 5 seconds, in 4 seconds. Basically, if that pops up, it's because that YouTube user wants to make money off of you, and they want to make money off of the fact that you want to see their content. So when you upload a video onto YouTube, and if you've signed up through Google Ads and you've linked your accounts and you've made it so you can make monetization, it takes a little bit of a process, but it really is just YouTube and Google liking you and saying, sure, we believe in your product. You can do this. You can just, as soon as you upload a video, just click this dollar sign and an ad will appear before your videos, whether they're being viewed on your iPhone or on your computers or on your tablets. And each time that happens, you might get a cent, you might get a couple of cents. But if you have more content, and if your content is viewed pretty regularly, you know, it can add up. So that's how I'm slowly making money on YouTube. Now I'm thinking, oh, I should be doing more videos, but that means I need to brush my hair and like put on makeup more often. So we'll see if I do a little bit more of that. But it really, it seems to be very user friendly. And I find that I like those ads better than Google ads for your blogs, because it's not something that people have to click. They have to sit through that ad. So if people are watching your video, you're getting paid no matter what. And I wish that happened. I wish that if people just came to my blog to read my content, that I got paid by Google because they saw it rather than if they had to click it. So I'm a big fan of how YouTube works right now.
That's a great point there. And I love that podcasts can actually work the same way in terms of a sponsor, because you just get paid for however many people listen. So it's a pretty great system.
I agree.
What's the one accomplishment in your business that you're most proud of, either on your blog or the podcast, any of that?
I think that I occasionally still hear from people that they've learned something from my blog, or that they've heard of my blog and they didn't even know me, or that they've heard of our podcast now and they didn't even know me. So that's been really cool for me to go out and be talking to someone who I might just meet at a baby store or at a car seat check event. And when they ask me what I do, I'll say, oh, I work in the film industry and I write a blog, and I'll tell them the name, and they might say, oh my gosh, you're Tall Mom? You're Tall Mom Tiny Baby? That's so cool. I read your post about how to make postpartum padsicles, which is actually my most popular post, which is crazy. I'm really glad I wrote it. People have found it through all different resources. Generally, Pinterest has been a huge pusher of my stuff, but that's kind of my big accomplishment, where I get to sit back and say, wow, people have found my content and they found it interesting and helpful, and they didn't even know me. It's not like it's my mom telling me, good job, Mary, you did a great job on that post. It's strangers. So that's been the coolest part for me.
That is really cool. So in terms of your business, I feel like you've accomplished so much already. Do you have a favorite online tool or app that helps you either stay organized or helps you to grow your business?
Let's see. I am a huge fan of Pinterest, as I just said, and it's something that I've learned more about that's been helping my blog really ever since I started using Google Analytics and taking it more seriously, because you're able to see where your traffic sources come through. And I started to realize that tons of people were pinning my postpartum padsicles post. And that wasn't even like very well done. I mean, it's pictures of menstrual pads covered in aloe. I mean, that is not something you'd think people would want to pin on Pinterest, you know, compared to hairstyles or wedding gowns. There's a menstrual pad that's green. But a lot of women in their pregnancy go onto Pinterest and they're pinning how to get fit and how to do this and how to do that. So I realized that now I'm not pregnant, but all those pregnancy posts, I needed to pimp for Pinterest. I needed to make those better and make those pictures better. So I have kind of gone through and tried to fix a lot of the images that I made there. And for that, I use PicMonkey, which is pretty much my best friend, picmonkey.com. So I make sure that the pictures are the right size, that they look attractive for Pinterest. And then the other website that I absolutely love is called Ahaology, or Ahaology, A-H-A-L-O-G-Y. And it allows you to schedule your pins so that they're coming out at the appropriate time. So they've figured out this algorithm where people pin a lot of recipes, for example, Sunday mornings. So anything that I have that's a recipe will show up on people's Pinterest feeds Sunday mornings. So it's been a really cool tool.
That's genius. We've actually heard about Ahaology from another blogging mom, and I have to say, I don't know why we're putting off getting started with it, because we've heard lots of great things about it. So that's really cool.
Definitely jump on it.
So you've talked a bit about how you've grown your business, different ways that you've monetized. Is there anything other than Pinterest that you feel like has really helped you to grow your business?
Yeah, I really listen to podcasts every single day, and I'm a huge fan of Pat Flynn. I really believe that like my husband and my podcast, Parentcast, wouldn't be where it is without listening, even in just watching his podcast tutorial. but listening to his podcast and other podcasts about the business, whether or not they're blogging related, just to understand social media and understand this marketplace that we're in now. Everything's so fast paced, and I just listen constantly. So if I'm on a walk with my son, I'm listening to an entrepreneur's podcast, and maybe I'll listen to a podcast that is specifically about blogging, or maybe I'll listen to a pregnancy podcast because it might inspire me to write a post about something that I have already forgotten because I have mommy brain. So I really just kind of delve into what I'm passionate about all the time. You know, whenever my poor son, I mean, he should probably be listening to Mary Had a Little Lamb, and instead he's listening to podcasts and we're playing catch and crawling around on the floor. But, you know, just to constantly be learning. And I also have just recently started a blogger mastermind group. And that's something that I'm really excited about because same thing. My friends will tell me, oh, I love that blog post, but I really want to be part of a group where people can help me grow and be a little bit more critical and maybe tell me that picture would not be good on Pinterest, or just these different kinds of examples. So that is something that I think I'm going to see a lot of growth in within the next year, is doing that mastermind group.
I think that's a great idea. And I've heard from so many people who are successful that I'm kind of looking up to, that they form these mastermind groups and just really are challenged, and it does take them to the next level. So good for you. So you started the group?
Yes. Yeah, I've been searching for one, and there's a lot of great forums out there for mom bloggers, but I find a lot of them are saturated in paid for content, and I don't really feel a good connection with some of these bloggers, or maybe we're just repinning or resharing each other's content and we're not truly helping each other grow. And I think to do that, it needs to be an intimate group and someone who you honestly won't get sick of reading their blog every day for them, or reading their blog 3 times a week. You need to find people who you want to grow with and want to help with, and whose opinions you treasure. So yeah, so I couldn't find it, and I just decided, you know what? I'm going to ask a couple of bloggers who I admire for different reasons. You know, some are great at writing. Some, I notice, are posted a lot on Huffington Post, or others get all of these paid gigs. How do they get all the paid gigs? I want to know. So I've kind of made this group of about 4 bloggers, and I'm really excited to see it take off.
That's wonderful. Good for you.
Thank you.
So, Mary, how do you define success both in your business and within your personal life?
That is a great question. You know, definitely with my business, it kind of intertwines with my personal life, I guess. I just want to make sure that I'm happy and that my family's happy. And that's how I define my success. As I said, the job that I'm doing right now to pay my bills is fantastic. It's exciting. I'm in the movie business. I'm going to be working with Martin Scorsese. That is really, really cool. But what I've learned about me in the past few years is that I love sharing information that I've learned. And that's why I love blogging. And that's why I love podcasting. And whether I'm making a lot of money doing it, as long as I'm happy and my husband and I are having a blast doing it, that's how I rate my success. My son, he's hopefully doing well from it, from this information that I'm learning and making sure that he's okay and alive and thriving very well. But as I said, I've even blogged and been able to exchange it for things that have enriched his life. So whether or not that's more money in my pocket, I don't care. As long as I'm happy and my family's happy, I think I'm pretty successful.
That's a great perspective.
Thanks.
Love it.
Could you tell us what it's like to be podcasting with your husband? How does that dynamic work? Does it flow? Is it difficult or just plain fun? Because I'm sure different people could feel differently about that.
Luckily, my husband and I both loved listening to podcasts before we even decided to do it ourselves. So I think that was a really good foundation. We generally have a great time. I mean, we have a Google document that we share, and we're just constantly thinking about different ideas. And I'm generally in charge of setting up the interviews, and he's in charge of writing the little blog content and making it witty and funny. And I'm in charge of doing the pictures for it. And it's this really collaborative exchange. And then actually doing the podcast together, we sit across from each other at the dining room table, and, you know, it's fun because we just laugh at each other. We really do have a fun dynamic. But there have been some nights where I'm not feeling really into my husband and he's not feeling really into me, and it shows. And we try the intro and we'll start off and I might be saying, welcome, this is episode 10 of ParentCast. I'm your host, Mary Larson. And then he says something and I'm like, I don't think we can do this tonight. I don't think that we're going to have the right flow and the right dynamic because I'm not finding you funny, or you know what I mean? So it's we kind of have to be really honest with each other. And if one of us is in a funk, or if maybe we had a bad day as a couple, you can't fake it when there's a microphone in front of your face. You can't fake the inflections. I can't pretend that everything is sunshine and roses if we just had a disagreement about something, or if the baby kept us up all night crying and we're both at wit's end and we just want to sit down and watch a movie. So, you know, we have to make sure that we prioritize, that we try to get the podcast episodes recorded earlier in case we do have some tough days. But generally, it is an awesome experience. We laugh a lot. And as I said, we act like it's our date nights because we have a glass of wine generally, and we're sitting down and just laughing and talking about these topics. And it can really be something as non-fun as colic or how to put your child properly in their car seat. But that's the whole idea behind our podcast, is we're just two regular parents trying to learn something. We don't have time to read books. So that's why we're doing this podcast, so that other people can just listen to it along with us. And it's generally a lot of fun.
I have to say, I've listened to several of your episodes too, and you two are so cute together.
Oh, thank you.
I'm like, you can just tell that you're having a great time and you both enjoy being parents and you're just, you know, enjoying your adventure and going through life together.
You just made my night, girlfriend. That was so sweet of you. Thank you.
Oh, well, you're very welcome. I mean, honestly, it really shows. And I think you just offer some great advice for anyone else who is podcasting, because like you said, you can't fake it.
No.
You know, so if you're not feeling it, that's smart to just say, okay, let's take a break. Let's try again.
Exactly.
Another night.
Exactly. And I think it's even more difficult for podcasters who don't have a co-host who they're close with. I think that podcasters who do it themselves, God bless them, because I think I'd have to put a mirror in front of me if I had to talk for a half hour or 20 minutes, whatever it may be. If I had to talk by myself, I might be able to do it, especially because of my on-air expertise. But it's difficult. It's really difficult to have a normal conversation for some people with a microphone in front of your face.
It's true. It really is. Speaking of that, I have a question that relates. You are so well spoken, I have to say. And I know you have experience being on a morning show, being, you know, in the news. But I'm sure it's more than that. I mean, you won that contest for a reason as well. So do you have tips for how you've learned to be such an effective communicator or be just a really great public speaker?
Well, thank you. Well, little do you know, I actually am a closet Rhode Island accented person. It took me a long time to get rid of my accent. Rhode Island accents, they're like a mix of Boston and New York. And just not the really beautiful sounding ways. But we love our accents. But I noticed in college that I had a really thick accent. And as I told you, TV wasn't really my main ambition to begin with. But I just wanted to get rid of the accent. So I have just worked on it and made sure to listen to myself a lot. I think having a performance background helped my confidence to be on television. I think being able to be on a podcast, you're always putting yourself out there, but definitely tips about trying to hear yourself. When my first day on air, I said the word wonderful 17 times. And I came back, I was out on a live shoot, and I came back and my news director said, Mary, we're going to start a new drinking game. It's called Wonderful. And I didn't even know what he was talking about. And we rewatched the tape. And he did. He said, you said wonderful 17 times. It was like my natural transition. So after someone answered a question, I would say, wonderful. So why don't you tell me a little bit more about XYZ? And they'd tell me, wonderful. Now, how does that make you feel? Everything to me was wonderful. And truth be told, I'm a very optimistic person. So I'm happy that that was my crutch word. But once I heard that, I really made a decision in my mind where I thought, you know what? I'm going to treat this like a swear jar. Where people who have swear jars and they put a quarter in it or whatever, each time they say a swear, I want to be that cognizant of my crutch word. And I really tried to make a lot of variety when I would use my transitions or use my adjectives. And so my big tip is, as painful as it is, you have to listen to yourself. And if you're a podcaster, you need to record yourself on your phone just talking about anything and see if you sound annoying to yourself. Because if you do, you need to fix that. Or if you say a lot, or if you say like a lot, any of these words that honestly disrupt the general public, that people hear that and think that you're maybe not very educated, or you might just be someone who shouldn't be speaking, you need to hear these really big trigger words for some people. And then also hear if you have any other little tendencies. A lot of people kind of smack their tongue, like while they're ending some words. So just to listen to yourself constantly and make yourself better. And as I was saying before, if you were going to be podcasting by yourself, maybe put a mirror up. Because people can hear when you smile and people can hear your inflections. And if you're just speaking to a wall, it might be difficult for you. So put up a mirror and see yourself having a conversation and listen to it and constantly grow, and try to find a friend or a mastermind group who will give you really honest feedback, who will tell you, I didn't really like that episode because of XYZ. Or your sound quality was really fuzzy. I mean, I just noticed before this, my air conditioner was really loud. I am sweating so much, but I'm anal about my sound quality because I don't want it to be muffled. I know that that's something when I listen to podcasts, when there's a lot of background noise, I stop listening to it. So find out what it is that you like and you don't like about certain things and apply that to yourself. And sometimes it's hard, but you'll become a better product in the long run.
Mary, could you share with us a favorite inspirational quote that you might have?
You bet. So my favorite quote is by Martin Luther King Jr., and it's, "You don't have to see the whole staircase, just take the first step." And I actually was my commencement speaker at the University of Rhode Island in 2004, and this is what I based my commencement speech off of, because I feel like our lives are pretty uncertain nowadays. Like, everyone starts a career and then they change and they keep changing. And it's not like it was in the 1950s where you were just a housewife and you knew you were going to be a housewife forever. And all you had to do was make the meatloaf and have your curlers in your hair. Or if you were going to be an engineer or a school teacher, that is what you did until you died. And it's really different now, and it's scary sometimes to venture out. And I loved this quote when I came across it. You don't have to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step. And that's what I decided with my blog, and that's what we've decided with our podcast, because we thought, you know what? How are we going to get people to listen to this? How are we going to get people to read? And it doesn't matter. If you're passionate and you can take that first step and you believe in yourself, then that's what matters. A lot of people tell you, see the big picture, shoot for the stars and you'll land on the moon. And I'm the exact opposite. I'm like, you know what? Just climb on the rocket ship. It's going to be a great ride. If you're excited about it, just do it. So that has been my number one big quote. Thanks to Martin Luther King Jr.
I'll add that to my fridge.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
I think it applies so much more even as moms too, because there's so much going on. You can't be planning 6 months ahead or a year ahead. You just have to think about the steps you need to take to get through that day, whether it be with your business goals and what your children need for that day. Just take those steps and that's it. Don't think about anything else, or the mom brain will get even worse.
That's why I joke that the first nap I shower. My child didn't nap for a long time. We had colicky problems and that was it. My brain started to think, oh my gosh, what have I gotten myself into? I must be a bad mom. Why can't I do this? And I finally thought, you know what? I've gotten him to nap. That's huge. Congratulate yourself. That is the first step. Now go take a shower because you smell. That's another step. Good job. Like, you're making it, girlfriend. And you're so right. We have to reward ourselves mentally because our lives are tough and they are a bunch of unknowns. But if you're excited about what you're doing and you love what you're doing, whether it's taking care of your family or your business, then that's what's worth it, is taking that first step.
Could you share a funny or adorable mommy moment with us?
Let's see. So I was asking my husband, I was like, God, do I have any funny stories? I have a lot of embarrassing stories, but I didn't know if I had any
that
funny
works.
Ones. Well,
yeah.
Well, here you go. So I was driving to New York recently, not recently, a couple months ago, and I was breastfeeding my son, not while I was driving, but I was breastfeeding at the time, and I got stuck in traffic. I don't know if you guys know this, but Connecticut is pretty much like a parking lot all the time. When you're trying to get down to New York, you just get stuck in Connecticut. So there I am in Connecticut, and I'm realizing that I am not going to make it to my friend's house in Brooklyn anytime soon. And I'm not even going to make it to a rest stop anytime soon. I mean, we were parked, like just parked. We meaning the collective cars. I was by myself in the car. And I decided I had to pump. In the car, in the driver's seat. And that's just something I had to do because I was not going to get to where I needed to get to. And when you're breastfeeding, you need to keep up with the schedule or else your boobs change their minds. And they, I don't know, I was picturing that they'd shrivel up by the time I went to Brooklyn. So I just opened up my jacket, had my little manual pump and was pumping away. And I was laughing to myself because sure, I wasn't driving. We were stuck. But I'm thinking about all these truckers and they have those radios with each other. And I thought, oh my God, if one of these truckers looks down at me and sees what I'm doing, he's going to have a heyday with his friends all over the interstate being like, oh, the girl in the Volkswagen is pumping her boobs right now. But I thought, you know what? This is what moms do. We have to make sacrifices and we can't play with the clock. Like I couldn't help the fact that traffic got me stuck there, but I had to take care of business. So that's my little mom embarrassing story, but it's true.
I guess a mom's got to do what a mom's got to do.
Amen, girl.
So. Well, Mary, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. We've learned so much from you. We've gotten just a bazillion new tips and tricks and great advice that we can take with us. And I know our listeners will take with them as well. So thank you again for sharing your time with us.
Well, thank you too. This was such a pleasure. I had a blast talking with you.
We did too. Thank you for joining us today on the Brilliant Business Moms podcast. I hope you enjoyed our interview with Mary Larson. You can find Mary's ParentCast podcast on iTunes, and you can also find her at tallmomtinybaby.com. Little did you know during our interview with Mary, but Beth Ann and I had all four of our kids upstairs having their first cousin sleepover ever. Well, you can imagine how that went. I was out of the room trying to settle down the kids multiple times throughout the interview. Here are some outtakes we cut out of our final interview with Mary and some other little conversations we had after the interview was done. Hope you enjoy.
This one?
Yeah.
I'm going to cut this.
Sorry, I want to cut this.
Oh, you're totally good.
Sarah's like jumping back in.
Welcome back.
Don't wrangle the kids. I know.
This sleepover idea of ours.
I know, right? This is the first cousin sleepover.
Oh, my God. I love it.
So, because I have Holden, and he's 3 and a half, mm-hmm. and Sarah has Lily, Charity, Sullivan. They're 7, 5, and 3, 3 and a half. And so Holden and Sullivan are in the same room having
a party.
yeah, exactly.
And the girls are always, when they sleep together, they're always crazy. So.
Yeah.
There is no sleeping tonight, ladies. Not at all.
This is true. Oh, my word. Yeah, love Pat Flynn.
Yes.
I only just discovered him like maybe 6 months ago, but I'm like totally, I'm sold.
You want to be his best friend. You know, you want to go hang out with him.
It's so true. It's, yeah,
just soak
exactly.
up all of his knowledge every day. I'm like, thank God he made Ask Pat so I can listen to him every day.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, it's like perfect. Well, and I thought that was so cool too, that's how you found me mm-hmm. was just because I was like, chatting or tweeting with Pat Flynn, which I still can't even believe that. Like, how cool is he?
Seriously.
I sent him like a YouTube video question and the same day.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, he tweeted back because he's that great.
Yes,
so.
Yes.
And then Sarah, they're in the middle of redoing their kitchen, like,
that's
but like themselves.
Yeah. Oh my God, yourselves? Oh my gosh.
Yes. Yeah.
Congratulations. That's huge. I feel like you're giving birth. Like, it's that big of a deal. Like, I should be, like, sending you flowers. That's huge. We got to connect by my creeping on Pat Flynn's Twitter and seeing a response. So this is how the world works.
Yes, it's true.